Hello. Welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer, co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day.
And welcome, seekers, to podcast number 112 of God Beyond the Bible, a podcast made by seekers and for seekers. If everything goes as planned, this podcast should release about the first Friday in June.
What, about 4 days?
Yep.
From when we're recording.
And we hope the first half of this year, wow, half a year already gone, has been and is being good to you. And hopefully we're all being good to one another.
Our shout outs this week are to Matiki and Luke. We're glad to have you guys listening.
And the quote, and this is kind of just original with me, but it's a combination of, I'm sure I was inspired by someone to hear it. But anytime we start a sentence with I am and complete the sentence with a statement that is contrary to our higher self, we have taken the name of God in vain.
I like that.
I had to sit and think on that one for a
while. Well, I am, you know, that's his. And yeah. Then when we say, I am stupid, we've taken the name of God in vain.
I like that. Okay. We believe that today's episode topic is timely.
Yes.
We're going to talk about fear and its associates, worry, anxiety, anger, frustration, depression, bitterness, and that list goes on and on and on. So how might we define fear? Fear can be described as an exaggerated emotional reaction of our brain to the suggestion of or the perceived idea of danger.
And that's important.
It is.
The suggestion of and the perceived
yes.
idea of danger. That's very important because that's what we're really going to talk about.
And that's because healthy fear is designed in us to preserve our physical life from a real threat. This built-in self-preservation factor was really handy if you were running from dinosaurs and other predatory beasts, as we think our ancestors probably had to do.
Right.
Those were real threats, and they called for that fight or flight response. You encounter a wild predator, and your breathing pattern increases and pumps extra oxygen to your brain and muscle tissue, and the brain releases a flood of chemicals like adrenaline, and your thoughts and your brain functions become super heightened, and you're aware of sounds and sights and smells that are associated with the danger. And you run with this almost superhuman ability. You run really fast and really far, and by the time you've escaped the danger, you're exhausted because you've used up the surge of chemicals and hormones in a way that they were designed to be used.
So, with this depiction of healthy fear and what it's designed to do, let's talk about the unhealthy fear. Unhealthy fear, if I can get a hold of my paper here, unhealthy fear has all the same effects on the brain and body, with one very important exception. We don't use up that flood of chemicals designed to create a burst of superhuman energy so that we can escape real physical threat and danger. So, just as our dinosaur versus caveman example, when it's just perceived fear, suggested fear, our mind yelled, danger. Our brain triggered a physical and mental reaction, a fight or flight. Our breathing is faster and shorter. Our heart rate doubles or triples. A flood of chemicals are released, including chemicals that shut down things like our digestive processes. But we don't put these responses into action. Like running fast and long, we just sit. And then our body has to try to accommodate, disperse, and eliminate the chemicals in unnatural ways. In other words, we just sit and stew in our juices. And it is these unused chemicals and such that do us so much harm and makes fear, worry, and anxiety so detrimental to not only our emotional, spiritual, mental well-being, but our health, our physical yes. well-being is adversely affected.
And, you know, I thought about this because I've made it clear I've suffered from anxiety for a long time. Yes. And you don't really think about the effect it has on your body. But I was thinking this morning and I was like, you know, when you're driving in the car and you see that person come in your lane and you are 100% positive that you're fixing to yeah. have an accident.
I thought of the same.
And then it passes and you're okay. And you can just feel your whole body.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it just, it's tired. It's heavy.
Yeah.
And you do that every time you have
and then
an
you still have to work out that because you didn't really do anything but jerk the steering
exactly.
wheel. And then you have to, your body has to work out that mm-hmm. surge. Mm-hmm. You bet.
Okay, well, the list of illnesses and diseases that are associated with fear, worry, anxiety, and stress is endless. Heart disease, hypertension, stroke, cancer, digestive disorders, debilitating mental and emotional disorders, eating disorders, excessive weight gain, especially belly fat. Oh my goodness, belly fat, sleep disorders, which have a deep effect on our overall mental and physical health and well-being. Researchers have discovered that people who live in a state of fear, worry, and anxiety are more likely to have a compromised immune system, and the list goes on and on.
And they're actually starting to attach some things like early onset Alzheimer's and mm-hmm. Parkinson's and some things like that to that stress and fear and anxiety. So there are some medical and scientific professionals that think that as we emerge from the ongoing COVID pandemic, that the overall mental and physical health of people will be negatively impacted for decades to come. And it's not just the fear and anxiety that are associated with contracting the virus. It's the stress of our routines and our social activities being disrupted. There are people who are dealing with the untimely loss of loved ones who died during the pandemic, and their families weren't able to even go through those traditional grieving processes due to social distancing. Mm-hmm. And there are folks whose careers and their financial lives have been disrupted and even obliterated by the unexpected effects of the pandemic.
Well, no one doubts that we're living through a period where a high level of fear, uncertainty, worry, and anxiety dominates our society. It's stressful for everyone, but it is especially difficult for those of us whose lives tend to be overly vulnerable to fear, stress, anxiety, and worry on a regular basis, not to mention the extra stress of our recent global situation. And these are the folks we really want to speak to on this topic, those folks who tend to live in a constant state of fear, worry, and anxiety.
So me, in other words.
Different folks deal with fear and stress in different ways. Some are really good at handling high levels of stress on a regular basis. Those in the emergency response professions, such as law enforcement, ambulance staff, fire, search and rescue workers, medical staff, especially emergency room staff, active military folks, and especially those that are in active conflict areas. But even these professionals are vulnerable because many of them succumb to PTSD and many other forms of stress-related disorders.
So while we may or may not be in a high stress category like those folks that we just mentioned, do y'all think it's fair to say that everyone has to deal with fear, stress, worry, and anxiety to a varying degree?
Yeah, yeah, I think because remember, we're talking about a perceived threat. We're mm-hmm. talking about a mental thing mm-hmm. here. It's not a real physical threat, but yeah, you know, you might have people that have all the money and live a life on the top, as we say it in our society, at the top of the game. Often their stress is much in fear. They've got greater fear and stress than the people that just out here, you know, scratching for a living.
So guys, do you think it's possible to live a life that is absolutely 100% fear, stress, and worry free?
I don't know if that's possible. I mean, we can't eliminate the built-in fear response.
Isn't that, I mean...
Totally. But we can eliminate the perceived, the thoughtful fear.
Yeah.
You know, that fear, not the threat. The fear. We don't want to eliminate the fear. No fear in the sign of real threat.
Well, and there are people who actually suffer. We talked about that early on in an episode, that's an actual disorder where your brain does not perceive any fear.
Well, we've seen those pictures of those little mice, you know, that will attack a cat. because there's something, some chemical or something's right. wrong in their brain, and they have no fear.
And that will get you killed.
That will get you eaten by a cat, yeah.
So, short of joining a monastery for the most of us, fear and the worry and anxiety that are products of it are something that we're going to have to deal with on pretty much a daily basis to some degree or another.
Well, someone asked the question pertaining to fear, if the tiger is not in the room, why do so many of us act as though it is?
Well, as a person who deals with, you know, fear and anxiety, the real concern is, are you prepared to deal with when the tiger does come in the room? Do you have the right tools? Do you have time in your schedule? Do you have a backup plan if two tigers come in?
But that reminds me.
But see, you've already, the perceived fear, you've already determined the tiger's coming in the room.
Exactly. You,
so.
But that's like, there was a quote from Hugh Prather, and he said, my anxiety doesn't come from thinking about the future, but from wanting to control it.
Yes.
And that's what
that's
you're
what
doing.
It is.
You're
absolutely
wanting to control it. We've mentioned that healthy fear is designed to aid us in a fight or flight situation where there is a clear and present threat to our personal physical safety. But the problem with our modern society is that most of the fear we encounter does not require a fight or flight response.
And this is where we get into where it's affecting us physically,
right.
mentally, every way. It's adversely has such negative effects on us.
In fact, the only response for most of the perceived situations of danger is not fight or flight, but a freeze response. We're paralyzed because there's really nothing to fight or flee from. The perceived danger is only a mental picture of something that could possibly happen, but we have no conceivable way to escape it, even though it isn't a clear and present threat, only a perceived possible future scenario, usually prompted by biased information designed to bring about a fear response. Cough, cough, the news.
triggers. So. For centuries, and this goes even back to the Roman church. This goes all the way back to the beginning of the church. If you can't sell your message to people effectively and get them to follow you, then introduce a fear of what might happen if they don't follow your message.
Well, those really remind me of, well, that's something that we deal with here on a non-religious level, living in Tornado Alley. We'll have one really bad storm in a season. And for the rest of the season, they will put out these tornado watches and warnings.
Warnings, yeah.
When it's not quite as serious, not necessarily a tornado warning, but severe thunderstorm warnings, things like that, when it's not as serious and people have that high tension and fear. And then after a while, your body can't keep that up anymore. And when real serious weather comes, people are like,
well,
it's not that big
we
of
saw
a
that
deal.
After the tornadoes that came through here in 2008,
yes.
destroyed even some of our neighbors' homes, and it's right here on this street, this road we live on. But and I noticed that the weather people became heightened. Any little potential storm, and they were just overreacting as far as this is. People find your shelter, and you'd go outside and it would just rain.
Yep.
Yeah. But you have to wonder, is that their own anxiety manifesting itself into
I think so, because
their job?
It probably
you
is.
You would have, I would imagine.
But remember, too, they're dependent on, this is their best selling point.
Exactly.
This is their most
That's
popular
true.
Selling point right here.
Because if I tune into the news, it's to watch the weather.
Yeah, well, and which I don't do either. But
I don't know if Tabby remembers when we used to go to these youth events when we were younger. And fear was very much the selling point. I remember one in particular that we went to where there was like a 30-minute thing on this guy goes to heaven and it's all pretty and they have the background lights and screen and it's gorgeous. And then his friend goes to hell and they do this whole presentation of the devil attacking him in hell. And the whole thing was designed to get these kids down to the altar in the front to
fear out of fear.
Yes. Because you want that insurance was basically how they sold it, that you want that insurance against hell.
Right.
And I don't know. So we've kind of been talking about it already, but let's go ahead and wind this episode down by talking about fear mongering.
Yeah, because we're going to have to take a break here in a minute. And we're starting to get some static in that microphone, but go ahead.
And fear mongering is defined as the act of presenting biased information to promote fear, with the intended result being getting the listener to comply with a specific reaction. So let's kind of discuss it.
Well, that's the weather, the news does that. Mm-hmm. The news to get you, people seem to, we seem to treat the news like it's, those folks are doing us a special favor.
Yes.
You know, like they're giving us special, we don't realize that's a business.
It is.
That's purely a business. The bottom line is money. Take away the money, the business disappears.
Well,
you take away the big right. salaries, take away the advertisers, and what happens? Are they going to still be there telling us? No.
My
There's
husband,
not going to be anybody there.
My husband and I don't watch the news. I can't.
I don't watch it
I quit
at all.
This years year, ago,
this year,
I can't handle
well, this
it.
Year, I quit completely, not even under the pretense of I'm going to catch the weather. Because no. you'll always, when it comes on, the kids can tell you if it comes on in the vehicle, news comes on, I turn the radio down. I don't want to hear it.
We do the same thing. Well, he has his mother is a darling lady, but she is obsessive about watching the news. Mm-hmm. They have it on in the background all the time at their house. And he made a comment one day because she was talking about some big event they'd had on national news. And he's like, Mom, I don't know what you're talking about. We don't watch. Well, how do you just not watch the news ever? And he's like this. And he turned her TV off and he goes, and then you don't have to look at it. And then you don't know. He said, Mom, I'm not being mean and I'm not discounting those people who lost their lives, but I don't know them. And I don't know anyone who knows them. And there's nothing that I can do.
And I can't change this event. And we're probably not getting, somebody's selling us something.
Yes, absolutely.
Somebody's using the story, they're manipulating the story to sell. And this is nothing new, but we'll talk about that as the time goes. Well, suffice it to say, these groups and organizations garner billions, if not trillions of dollars each year by utilizing fear mongering. But the greatest cost may not be the money. It may very well be the negative impact on our emotional, mental, and physical health. We realize that in this first episode, we have merely directed our audience's attention to the obvious, but we think it's important to pull back the veil and expose how some groups are manipulating us and compromising our health. And I'm talking about mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. They're compromising our health and our happiness for power, control, and for financial
yes.
gain. And they're ruining our health in the process. And we're allowing them to do it because they are convincing us that what they've got is
you
so important, we must take it and ruminate and, mm-hmm. and worry and all of that stuff about it.
Okay, so next episode, we hope to begin to introduce some steps that we can take to reduce our intake of fear-mongering and also recognize the difference between real threat and mere thought or perceived threat. Until then, may the divine's unconditional grace, peace, and love be on, in, and radiate out from each of you, our fellow seekers, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.